Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let that theme marinate. Let that soak in. And with this theme, we tell you Omaha Hockey begins its tournament quest tonight in Sioux Falls as they take on Minnesota around 7:30. Coming in at 23-12-4, the Mavs are coming off an NCHC Frozen Faceoff Championship game appearance. They defeated North Dakota for the fourth time this season, 4-5 games this year, 6-3 to advance to said title game. The Gophers finished third in the Big Ten regular season standings, defending national runner-up, entering the NCAA tournament with a record of 22-10-5. The second-seeded Gophers are the 37th-ranked faceoff team in the country with a win percentage of 49.9. Nick Hanley can tell you more about those numbers. Minnesota averaging 3.49 goals per season. They have notable wins over North Dakota, Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. All four of those teams are in the tournament, but they have not played in 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
Winners play for a shot at the Frozen Four Saturday night. Just got nervous. Nebraska volleyball assistant coach recruiting coordinator Jalen Reyes has been named to the USA Volleyball Under 21 national team coaching staff for the Women's Continental Championship this summer. He'll be an assistant coach on a staff that includes BYU head coach Heather Olmstead and Stanford assistant coach Alex Dunphy. Hey, so that's what happened to her after Modern Family. All right, cool. The under 21 national team will train in Anaheim from June 14th through 22nd, and then will compete in Toronto later on in June 23rd through July 1st. Random high school baseball note, Gretna East sets a single-game state record for runs scored yesterday when it defeats Omaha Buena Vista 40-1. The previous record was 35 set back in 2018. The Class B Griffins, in their first season of varsity play, scored 17 runs in the first inning, then score in the second, added one run in the third, and then scored 11 in the fourth and 11 more in the fifth, and then they stopped it.
Well, and so the NSA for baseball follows the NFHS rule, the mercy rule, so they could not end the game any earlier. It's from what I understand, you know, nothing Gretna East can do, but it's, I don't know, just, I don't want to get on my soapbox here. Feel bad for the Buena Vista kids. Gretna East also, what, they beat Benson 30-0 last week?
Yeah, 30-0. They beat Bryan 13-0.
We're a long way away from Omaha Burke and Omaha Northwest having a place in high school baseball. It's just another thing about OPS and athletics. Yeah. But baseball is one of those sports that's even more difficult because you're not getting a lot of kids out.
No.
The kids that want to play baseball are going to the Millard schools.
Yes.
They're going to prep. They're going to Westside.
Yeah.
And OPS in baseball, it has been a struggle. I mean, OPS period in terms of trying to keep their head above water in Class A against other schools, it's already an uphill task. But in baseball, it's a little bit even more. I mean, I would like to see if you could do co-op teams. You know, they've done it in the past, like North and Benson 1 year, I think, combined.
Yep.
It's tough. It's I don't blame Gretna East. Like, kudos for the kids at Buena Vista and places like Benson where these things are happening more often.
Yeah.
That you went out for baseball and you're staying on the team.
Yeah.
And the coaches that, you know, have encouraged kids to come out and they're teaching them the game of baseball. But that's a lot of these OPS schools. It is, you're teaching kids how to play baseball. Maybe the first time they played baseball.
Yeah, and I've been through this. I've been on both sides of this. I was coaching freshman JV at Omaha Central before I went to Millard North. I was on the receiving end of a 27-0 schlacking to prep. And I remember I had parents coming up to me after the game that were very upset that prep was putting it on us. And I saw prep do what I think a lot of teams do in that situation where they are emptying their bench. Their pitchers are actually coming in to hit. You're giving everybody that is currently suited up a chance to get a B out there to go play in the outfield. You can only do so much. But what I saw in reading that last night was you also have 9 errors in that game. You can't, as the team that's putting it on another one, you can't make them field the ball successfully. You can't make them have accurate throws or throw strikes. I didn't see how many walks there was, but it's so, a helpless feeling because people are going to see that score and they're going to pour on Gretna East, say, how dare you? But there's a lot of context.
Gretna East is a first-year program.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They could end that at any time with an agreement, but I saw somebody emailed the show and they said, why didn't they stop this game earlier? Well, they follow the rules.
Yeah.
There's also, there's some states that do a softball, like in the third inning, if it's 12 runs, it's automatically over.
Yeah, you go 12 or 15.
10, 8.
15 after 3, 12 after 4 type thing. Yeah, and the other thing is, and this was when I was on the I hate saying the positive end of this, but I remember we were playing Omaha North one year, and it was just really, really bad. And it was a helpless feeling because you just didn't know when they were going to make their next out. I had one of our players come up to us and say, do you want me to go ahead and just put down a bunt? I said, absolutely not. Yeah. First of all, that's demoralizing to the team that's just trying to make a play. And secondly, the way that this team is kicking the ball around, you put a bunt down, they mishandle that, then it looks like we're bunting up by 20 runs. So just keep playing the game. Just
no win situation
right
from your side.
Umpires will open up the strike zone, and they're very good at doing that too, where you go up there in the batter's box, you get your hacks in, and you just hope that the ball finds their glove. It's a helpless feeling. I don't envy either side of it, but you're right, especially for the team that's going through that and the coaches are going through that.
Just I've advocated for this. OPS should just play OPS teams. They should have their own separate district.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think because there were some good OPS teams not that long
ago. Things have changed,
Nick. Yes, they have.
Yeah,
yes,
I think Omaha Burke is the last OPS school that has won a state baseball title, and that's 24 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, Lee, I was doing that game. Lee Kramlish, Omaha Burke, they beat Millard West. They had to beat them twice, and they did.
Yeah. The days of Omaha Northwest, Ralston, and Burke, like being right up there, a long time. Now it's Lincoln East who beat Burke last night as the number one team in the state.
I'll end some more positive stuff, I guess. Unless you're Louisville, I don't know how they're liking this or... they agreed to a five-year deal with College of Charleston's Pat Kelsey, who is coming off his second consecutive NCAA tournament appearance, led the college, as their jersey said, to back-to-back CAA regular season tournament championships. He brings a career 261-122 record over 12 seasons at Charleston and Winthrop. That was kind of a mess, but the more positive story last night, I'm surprised we didn't lead with this, congratulations to Seattle U, who beats High Point to capture their first CBI title.
That thing's still happening.
See, so things are getting better in Seattle, little by little. Different school, same community. They won something.
So that's the CBI is Daytona Beach, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And you got to go to Daytona?
Hey, do you know Omaha got invited to that?
Yeah, how much do they have to pay, though?
It wasn't as much as I thought. Now, you have to pay to be in it, but they got invited there.
Did they?
That's nice.
Yeah, because you were going to feature Frankie Fiddler.
Oh yeah. Okay. So they can extend invites based on things like that.
Yeah. I mean, Omaha was under 500, and they got an invite.
And they're like, hey, you got a good player though.
Ironically,
it's a showcase.
The timing was as the team was returning to the hotel after getting beat by Denver.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? We might not have half our roster by tomorrow.
We'll let you know.
We got some guys that are in the gots to go situation. All right. Thanks, Jimmy. So yesterday, as you know, college basketball is like there's a lot of excitement in this town because Creighton plays tomorrow night in the Sweet 16, and the unbelievable moment that Creighton basketball could say out loud, we have two straight Elite Eight appearances.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a long way. Now they're already recruiting at a high level, and Jackson McAndrew is Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota. He's going to be a dude along with Ty Davis, and the portal guys that they have secured. but to say out loud, two straight Elite Eight appearances, that's a big, big deal. So there's a lot of excitement for college basketball if you're wearing the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're a college basketball fan, that's going to be a game to watch. And we hearken back to the days of we love college basketball because it wasn't one and done and we could get to know players and you had villains and all of that kind of stuff. It has become tougher to be, I think, cover college basketball than to be a fan because you're covering not only the games, but look at, for example, Creighton is getting to play their most important game of the season, Friday night. They're also portaling. You know,
yeah.
Everybody's portaling in college basketball.
Yep.
Your coaches are even portaling. So it's getting more difficult to cover. And I will give you an example. So this is the Omaha perspective.
Okay.
And Frankie Fiddler's on an unofficial at Nebraska today. He is going to Madison to visit his best friend, Chucky Hepburn, this weekend. Wisconsin got word that Frankie was going to be in Madison. And they said, hey, why don't we turn this into an unofficial visit? And so that's what's happening this weekend. Now, he has an offer from Creighton. His appearance on Monday, he got an offer from Creighton. He'll be at Nebraska today. He'll get an offer from Nebraska today. So from the Omaha perspective, you're like, man, would have been great to have him for another year. Boy, that's a bummer. So I'll give you my perspective from the Omaha side. So it's a bummer that, you know, Frankie won't be back. But then there's the and that's the part of like covering a team or rooting for a team is like, oh. But then you start to hear about the names that are on campus that you're trying to poach from other, not poach, but that are in the portal from other schools, including Summit League schools. And you're like, let's go. Max Morrell is on an unofficial visit at Omaha today. The former four-star from Millard North, who was offered out of high school, a scholarship by Creighton. 6'9", went to Stanford, played over 100 games. This past year, he was bothered by injuries, played about 17 games, but he can jump, he can shoot. He's a guy that can step outside and shoot. He's on an unofficial at Omaha.
Really?
So then I'm hearing names.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of guys, there's a couple of significant guys in the Summit League that are in the portal that were here in Omaha.
Yeah.
That have been in, that are waking up today and they're done with their visit and they're leaving. So that's the balance of the fan. If you lose somebody, you're like, oh, and then you start hearing names and you're like, here we go again.
Yeah.
For example, Nebraska yesterday. So Nebraska has had four guys go into the portal. And a guy that really, I think in terms of liking someone, you would agree. The viewpoint on C.J. Wiltshire changed.
Absolutely.
Like C.J. Wiltshire couldn't get out of here quick enough 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And he was bogged down by guys around him that were... you know, energy vampires.
Yep.
But then CJ sticks with it, plays last year, sticks with it because he was a guy that we all thought, man, he's probably going to be in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and you hear his story and you're like, man, that's a good dude. That is exactly like Tominaga came along at the right time for Hoiberg. Wiltshire stuck around at the right time for Hoiberg.
Yep.
But yesterday, I wasn't surprised. C.J. Wiltshire goes into the portal. That's where you have to separate the emotion in these kind of discussions. The emotion with the reality of the business of sport. Isn't really an expanded role for C.J. Wiltshire next year. And so, yeah, you'd like to have what he offers, but what he offers may have only been the 12 minutes he played against Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the portal, and if you're looking at it from, oh, man, I like C.J.
Yeah.
Well, what it just did is it opened a similar role for the guy that is on an unofficial visit in Lincoln today.
Exactly. And that's where I think, as long as a fan, you understand that. And I think fans are pretty good at that, because typically when someone is being either ushered out or making that decision to take on a new challenge, you're hearing the news of somebody else that's on campus. And so it is, I don't like saying this, but it's kind of the phrase in with the old, out with the old, in with the new. And you get excited about that. There's no question. It's the ones who get emotionally attached. And I've seen this as well. And I think this is more of the old school fan that is still maybe not used to, or maybe comfortable is the best way to say this, of watching the roster attrition pick up the way that it has in all of college sports. That a guy like C.J. Wiltshire is a perfect example of someone that just won fans over because he stuck with it. And then he gave you, nobody will forget the game against Wisconsin. I mean, it was one of the highlights of this season, and he was a major, major part of that with 22 points.
But you know what, internally, their question was, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, exactly. And after that game?
Post-Wisconsin.
Yeah.
CJ, unfortunately, was very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're weighing what his future looks like in the Nebraska program, that game and what happened afterwards was a major discussion at the end of the season.
And you don't know where you're going to get that type of game. Maybe that's in a game that's not as significant. It just so happened to be in a significant game. But if you pulled any Nebraska fan and you took that emotion out of it and said, would you rather have that guy give you a 22-pointer, but then all of a sudden for the next month barely average 3 or 4 points, as opposed to a guy that maybe doesn't have the high side is going to give you, and I'm not saying Frankie here, but just who you're looking to replace is going to give you during a span of 6 game average of 9 to 10 points off the bench, 5 or 6 rebounds. You're going to take that guy because you're going to get that consistency, and that makes it so much easier to know how to build that rotation around that, knowing what you have coming off the bench. I think a lot of fans are pretty wise to that this day and age, because you do know the possibilities, and also using Nebraska as the perfect example too of the way that they're now identifying people out of the transfer portal, both locally but also the right culture fit. You're going to get guys that can put the ball in the hoop, obviously, but also that culture fit, which seems to be a priority right now too, which is going a long way with this program.
Well, I mean, on the heels of that, as Nate Lesner was saying yesterday, I mean, Creighton, Omaha, and Nebraska, and you know, this is the thing about, like, if you're still playing, you have to be involved in the portal game.
Yeah.
You can't get caught, you know, with the grass growing under your feet. Nebraska, Hoiberg is with Ernie Ziegler last night down in Hutchinson, Kansas, for the junior college tournament, which I would love to go to. That's on my bucket list. I've heard that is, they put on a, in Hutch, they put on a great tournament. And the junior college tournament's been there forever. But Nebraska's down there last night looking at a big man in Malik Ewen. Now, his team lost, but he's a guy that started at Ole Miss when Kermit Davis was the head coach. Unfortunately, was involved in a car accident where a fellow Ole Miss student was killed. Did not play anymore at Ole Miss, went to a junior college. He's a 6'10" guy. That is kind of the five that they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're already, you know, they're aggressive on a couple of point guards, whether it be from Furman or Washington. So it's just, it's like the nonstop cycle. And I, as that was unfolding yesterday, I'm thinking about what Nate said yesterday. And I'm like, man, it makes it rougher and rougher either to be a coach because it never stops or to cover and be a fan of, because you're going through the emotions of, oh man, man, CJ's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's next? Oh, Frankie's here. Frankie's here. Now, what I would advise CJ, and I know a lot of people say, well, I wonder if he ends up at St. John's with his brother Simeon, who's playing for Rick Pitino. If I was advising CJ, and he's got one more year left, and, you know, shooting the three ball, being a guy that can give space, pretty good team guy, I would drop down a level, not to Division II. I would go to an A-10 or an AAC school.
Mm-hmm.
Where I might be the number one or number two option if I was CJ. Because he's gone from, he's been at two Power Six schools.
Yeah.
He's been at Xavier and he's been at Nebraska.
Yep.
I would look at AAC or A-10. You want to get closer to home in New Jersey? And go fill it up for a year and see if somebody takes a flyer on you to play pro basketball overseas in the next year.
Yeah.
Which I think he kind of wants to do.
I think it's an ideal role because I think of the types of teams that he's been on right now, and you mentioned not only the you know, playing for Xavier and also Nebraska, you look at playing in the Big East, playing in the Big Ten, I would think that that's going to come in, that's going to bring in a lot of credibility to wherever you would go if you take it down maybe to a mid-major or to, yeah, like an AAC, a competitive team like that where you're a scoring option, because I think that competition just is genuinely going to rub off on other people. That type of competition on the way that you played and the way that you should carry yourself. CJ's never struck me as a guy that lacks the confidence. It's just being able to find that consistency. I would think that that would be very infectious for any team looking to utilize those services from a guy that's clearly a scorer, has that potential. It just depends on what you have around him. And I think the competition is a big part of that, how you're being defended. And I think at a lower level, I 100% agree. That type of role that CJ's looking for, that I think we all know he's looking for, I just don't think exists right now in the Power Six. I truly don't. Even teams that are struggling in, say, the Big 12 or the Big East, or, I mean, like DePaul. Use DePaul for an example. Even with the new coach, would you see CJ Wilcher being a standout player for DePaul? I don't know if I really would.
I don't know if they have a roster, so I have no idea.
Yeah, but I mean, but
you're
given
playing for playing for a good coach.
You are. But
I don't, I think AAC or A-10
I would agree
is perfect. Because he wants playing time.
Yes.
You know, Guys want a little cash that are in the portal. They want playing time, and they want to go to the NCAA tournament. And also, oh, by the way, if I get a look and I get some attention to play pro ball.
Mm-hmm. I think that that is, for CJ, especially for someone who did start a decent amount of games in the last 3 years, even started a few games this year, I think he's craving that. I just don't know if you're going to find that consistent mainstay, even with the occasional rough game, that you would be lifted out of the lineup where you would be a lock solid starter no matter how your performances are, I don't think exists in the Power Six. But I do think he could really help a team in
so
the mid-major.
The next stage for Nebraska to wait on is you'd like a yay or a nay from Jamarcus Lawrence. That's the next one. They see a place for Jamarcus Lawrence, but it'd be nice to have him just say, hey, I'm staying, because he's the next one that people are going to ask about. Mm-hmm. But so while college basketball in, what's the portal been open?
Since
week and 10 days?
Yeah,
week and,
last Monday.
Oh, 10 days essentially. Are we ready for when the spring college football portal opens up on May 1? Are we ready for that? Are we ready for the absolute chaos and poaching?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Caden Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
College football in May could be just out of control. Now, it may not reach all the way here, but grab your popcorn and watch what they're going to do in the SEC after spring ball. Because Lane Kiffin is loading up. He doesn't want to play the game, but he knows he has to play the game. You don't think there is so much tampering going on right now in college football ahead of when the portal window opens up, as teams are, you know, working their way through spring ball? Wow.
Well, and you do. You have, what, there's teams that are wrapping up this weekend. There are teams that are wrapping up here in the next 2 weeks before Nebraska even gets midway through it that are players and coaches alike are starting to look at that roster and starting to decide, okay, what do we still need? And players thinking, is this the right role for me now? Now that I've gone through spring and I had a taste of it, I had a chance to see where I'm at. And the fact that there really are no guardrails that limit you from using the back channel conversations to have that happening. You know, when Troy Dannon mentioned it, and he's not the only one when it comes to the next 5 years of college athletics, I think a big part of that conversation, people say, you think you've seen a lot now? You ain't seen nothing yet. I think it has to do with the transfer portal. Each period, I think, is going to get crazier and crazier. I think this time next year, we'll be saying the same thing of, and we will think, okay, we've seen it all by now. Yeah. Like the Caden Proctor thing was pretty alarming. That was...
And that's not entirely Iowa's fault. There's system fault. And then there's a lot of the fault of the kid.
Mm-hmm. That is, I don't want to say... There are more of those to come when it comes to someone who just made a transfer and then all of a sudden before they started spring ball decided to bolt. But I think that I would feel very confident that's not the last one
seen. This is what I liked about Troy Dannon the other day. He openly talked about college football is a business. If you're an athletic director and for the last 3 years, you haven't thought about the future and thought about there might become a point where we've got to pay our athletes. And so we can treat them like employees, which means we can fire them.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't doing your job. And if you're not treating college football like a Fortune 500 company and your athletic department like a Fortune 500 company, good luck. You're going to be lost.
Yeah.
You're going to be left behind. He's at least got that mindset that college football is a business, like it or not. That's what it is. And we are headed towards an NFL model. Hell, we're going to, I say we're NFL light already. We've introduced the helmet communication, which is a great thing. We've got the 2-minute warning. I wouldn't be surprised next year, and the NFL will push this if they follow through and keep their new kickoff rule, that kickoff rule trickles down to college football, because they will want, the NFL will want guys coming to the league that are familiar with this quirky rule and not the old school stuff that we're doing in college football. College football is a business. And the more you say it out loud and the more you treat it like that, the better you're going to be. We may not like it because it's change and it's different, but that's the reality of where we are and where we're headed. And you can't stop it. Genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, well, simply put, and it's not going back in. The toothpaste isn't going back in the tube. And so for the people who And we've all wanted to know, how do we get this thing under control? How do we get the decisions that the players, that student-athletes make that happen so quickly, and that they're here one day and then they're gone the next, and you're trying to build a team around this player, and then all of a sudden he's gone before you even have a chance to really get anything established with him. If you want to help this without having the type of guidelines that we were hoping at one point would have existed when this all first came out with the transfer portal and its intent, you're solution right now, whether people like it or not, is exactly what you just laid out there, because then you do have obligations because you did sign a contract, because you're getting that money and it's a good chunk of change. But guess what? You now don't have the freedoms of, you know, don't like where I'm at on the depth chart, so I'm going to that transfer portal. Well, your contract is not going to allow you to do so. So if you want that type of calmness to somewhat return back to college football, unfortunately, that's your answer.
All right. Matt DiMarino is coming up at the top of the hour from Detroit. It'll be open practice and media for Creighton, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Purdue at Little Caesars Arena. Matt will be on site today and through the weekend. He'll join us coming up at 8. Steve Sippel in an hour. Also, Sarah Baker Hansen stops by. Dave Starman, Omaha, Minnesota hockey tonight at 7:30 in the NCAA tournament in Sioux Falls, which Omaha is the host school. Go ahead and explain that to your cubicle mate today and how that makes sense, but it does. And then Brian Edwards is in to make you a little bit of money before we're done at 10 on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.